guys continue to pray for the volunteer team that's left from here this morning at 8:30. We're going to be doing some tough work this week, so we just want to continue to pray for them and pray for their health and strength. Open doors to people who mentioned those around them, as they're going to be mentioning people who have lost a lot. So we want to keep them in our prayers this week. And we give Bob, our mission pastor, who's meeting with them. And we can see that people in prayer too, can be meeting others as well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to prepare our hearts to worship the Lord and His Word. Heavenly Father, thank you. Praise you, God, for who you are. You are so worthy, as we have sung this morning. You are worthy of all praise and all glory. Lord, you've done so many different things. Lord, you deserve all the praise in our lives, Lord. Everything you've done to bring us to where you are now, it's all for your glory. And you deserve all the glory for every little thing that you've done in our lives, Lord. We just want to praise you. Thank you, Father. And I pray that as we sit here this morning, Lord, that we're able to, with your help, lay aside those distractions, lay them at your feet, and really truly listen to what you have to say to us this morning. Father, I pray that you meet each person where they are this morning. Whatever's going on in their life, Lord, whatever difficult trials, whatever's going on in their life, Lord, I pray that you meet us where we are. Lead us closer to yourself. I pray this in your mighty name. Today, we're going to continue to learn more about the spiritual battle we face and the divine armor God has given His children. We know that God, as we sang this morning, is worthy of all glory and desires to be glorified. But we also know that, and we have learned, that Satan desires to steal God's glory, that he wants to gain here on earth what he could not gain in heaven. Satan, our enemy, leads an army of fallen angels. He is the ruler of the spiritual forces of evil. He wages war undercover, in disguise, with tactics of deception, betrayal, and lies. He wants to keep people enslaved to their sin, to keep people from seeking after God and finding eternal life. He wants to use our lives to steal God's glory. And as we learned last week, this is no ordinary enemy. This is no ordinary warfare. And that is why we need to always be on our guard, constantly armed with God's power, His might, and His provision to meet the attacks whenever it comes. Stand strong against the enemy. Also, in this passage last week, we were commanded to put on, to take up the whole armor of God. It's important that we don't leave out one little single piece of this armor. We need all the divine armor that God has clothed this in to stand strong. I want to tell you a little story and show you a picture of my 4 or 5 year old grandboys. They had this lesson in Sunday school about the armor of God, and we had this picture that they gave them. They had a little picture of a guy with his armor and everything on. So they went home and they went and found all this stuff, and they made that themselves. They got their helmet on, they got a shield and a little sword, and they came up with it on their own. They made it, so I thought it was kind of cool. But they know the importance. They came to mom and said, "Look, we got the armor of God." But they know how important it is. And so that's just a cool thing to see when children understand, and hopefully we understand, how important this divine armor and power is. This is so important, and it's something that we have. That's what's so exciting. So let's read. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll continue to look at verses 14 through 17. So let's look at these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ and learn how we can use them to stand strong in the whole armor of God. Let's read there in verses 14 through 17. "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now let's take a closer look at these pieces of spiritual armor. And the first one here is the belt of truth. Why is this piece of armor important? Well, the Roman soldier's belt was usually made of out of a thick piece of leather. And it was one of the most important parts of the armor because it held many of the other parts of the armor together. It was what you would call the foundational piece of the armor that they wore. Now, for us, the belt of truth represents God's truth. And just as the belt had everything else together and was a foundational piece of armor, God's truth should be the foundation for our lives. It is truth that helps us wear the full armor, put on the full armor of God, meaning that our worldview, our perspective about life, our perspective about the world, every decision we make, every bit of wisdom we need, how we choose to live our lives, should be based on God's word. All of that should be based on God's word. Therefore, as the psalmist in Psalm 119, we should treasure his word. We should run everything through his word as if through a filter in order that we see what is true and what is false, what is from the world or our culture and what is from God. We need his word to run everything through. It is a foundational piece of this armor. Now remember, Satan is a liar. And he wants to deceive you, just as he did Adam and Eve in the garden. How easy it is for Satan when a follower of Christ does not know God's word, doesn't know God's promises. When a believer, believers live by God's truth, they're able to defeat the enemy. A person with integrity, who has a clear conscience before God, can face the enemy without fear, without shame. Our faith is based on the truths of God's word. Our identity, as we learned last week, is based on what Jesus says about us. Just as the belt kept armor and armor together, gave the soldier freedom to move about. Jesus said in John 8, 31, 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will set you free. There's great freedom in living according to God's truth. People think that God's word somehow hinders them or constrains them in some way. But in reality, it gives us freedom. Freedom from the bondage of our flesh. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom to live our lives in peace and joy and true purpose and hope. See how Satan somehow works to twist the freedom God has given us into a lie? Do you see the perception that he has developed in our culture around us about God's word? God tells us in his commandments, he says his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5, 3. He says, this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments. And my commandments are not burdensome. But if we're all honest about this, we all know what is burdensome. The consequences of our sin. The consequences of living our life our way instead of God's way. That is truly burdensome. Has anybody ever let that happen? Where you, in your flesh, or your sinful nature, your desire, you did things your way instead of God's way. And you fell into sin, or fell into temptation, and sinned against God, and faced terrible consequences. That was burdensome. And God's word is free. And in order to use this piece of armor, we must spend time in God's word, continually saturating our minds with his word. And we must let his word sink deep into our hearts, meditating on his truth, seeking the Lord's direction on how to follow him, how to obey him. And for some, that might mean reordering your priorities. For some, that might mean rescheduling your day. For some, that might mean getting rid of some of the distractions in your life. For some, it might mean downsizing your hobbies. For some, it might mean learning to live with less so you don't feel the need to fill your whole week up with so much work. God has given us this wonderful, powerful gift that's full of wisdom that we need We have everything we need. But will we refuse to use this spiritual armor that you can bring? Next, we look at the breastplate of righteousness. Why is this piece of armor important? Well, this piece of armor was usually made of metal and plates and chains, and it covered the body from the neck to the waist, from both the front and the back. So it protected some of the most vital parts of the body from injury. The breastplate of righteousness is not referred now to the justification and righteousness that is received at the moment of our salvation. Right? Through our faith in Christ, we stand righteous before God because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This righteousness refers to the sanctifying righteousness of Christ that is practiced in a believer's life. What is practice? Just as this piece of armor protected the heart from the soldier, righteous living protects a believer's heart from the attacks of Satan. Remember, Satan is called the accuser, right? He's our accuser. He wants to accuse us of wrongdoing before God. He wants to make us look bad, make us feel guilty, make us feel ashamed. But he cannot accuse the believer who's living a godly life according to God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. He cannot. We rejoice in the righteousness of Christ that we have exchanged for our sin at the moment of salvation. It just assures us of our salvation. But without practical righteousness in our daily lives, we open the door for Satan to attack us. If we allow sin to reign in our hearts and our minds, Satan will exploit that weakness. He's going to use it to his advantage, right? He's going to use it to bring greater temptation and destruction in our lives. Righteousness is not something you can just muster up in your own strength. Yeah, I'm going to be more righteous. I'm just going to be more righteous. I'm just going to try harder. It is a spiritual blessing that we have only gained through Christ, by God's help. He works out this righteousness in our lives. As he works out the process of sanctifying us from the inside out, and that comes through our daily walk with him. It's part of his spiritual armor that protects us in this spiritual battle. The problem here is that we begin to believe the lie that it's not possible for us to overcome our flesh. It's not possible for me to grow in holiness or righteousness because I still sin in different ways and time to time. Therefore, we stop putting the goal. We just got rid of the goal completely. We just stop putting that goal of pursuing holiness, something that we are commanded to do by Jesus, be holy for I am holy, be holy in all your conduct. So we just take away that goal. We don't even pursue it because we think that it's impossible. We ignore Jesus' command, be holy. It's not impossible. It's fully possible in Christ. And in order to use this armor, we must set that goal of righteous living in our lives, that holiness before us. And we must trust in the Holy Spirit that lives within us to empower us, to help us overcome our sinful flesh. We must remember God's promises and tell us, hey, you are no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to your sin. I have overcome that. Through the grave, through my resurrection, I have overcome the sinful nature of the human being. God gives us power, power we need to grow in righteousness and holiness. This is made possible in Christ. It can happen. It's one of the amazing things that God uses in our lives to help us be a witness, help us be a light. If we look no different than the rest of the world, what advantage do people see in Christ? Where is this change the gospel talks about? We have to have that goal before us. Yes, we're going to fall, we're going to fail sometimes, but we pursue that. We come back to God the same way we came to him. You confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's got a pathway for us to come back to him, continually overcome our flesh and behave righteous. Next, we learn about the shoes of the gospel. Why is this piece of armor important? Well, the Roman soldier wore sandals with nails in the soles, kind of like our modern-day cleats. And this would give them a sure-footedness or traction that they needed to in battle to stand their ground, to maneuver, right? And so first the shoes of the gospel that we are to put on, what does it first remind us of? It reminds us of the peace we've been given through the gospel. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 states, and then you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Through our faith in Christ, we have been adopted into God's family. We now have peace with him. Therefore, we don't need to fear the attack of Satan or men. Using this piece of armor means that we daily remind ourselves of the gospel. And you would say, why is that important? We need to remind ourselves every day of the good news that it has blessed our lives with life, change, peace, hope, joy, all those spiritual things, all those spiritual blessings. God has delivered our life from bondage. Remember, he took you, picked you up. He stepped into your life. He had someone share the gospel with you. He worked in your heart. He drew you to himself, and he saved you, and he pulled you out of that, the depths of sin and darkness and bondage and hell. And he pulled you out of that, and he gave you this free gift of eternal life. So when we remind ourselves daily of the gospel, we are so overwhelmed with gratefulness and thankfulness. It changes our perspective about what's important in life. It changes our priorities. It changes the way we reschedule our day. It changes everything. And then, as we reflect on that gospel, you see, these shoes have another meaning as well. In Eastern culture, when you arrive at someone's house, you take off your shoes. It's just a normal thing. You ever go? In Eastern culture, you're going, all the shoes are going to be lined up right there at the door. Take off your shoes. Like, I don't want to take off my shoes. What this means is you feel comfortable that you're going to rest and stay a while at this house. And you've taken off your guard and you've relaxed. Now, if you keep your shoes on, it means you're only staying for a moment. That you are prepared for a quick departure. Now, with a soldier, a soldier would never go into battle without his shoes. We don't take these gospel shoes off. Which means we are prepared at any time and anywhere to share the gospel peace with those around us who don't know Christ. As it says in verse 15, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Romans 10:15 states, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The good news about Christ. The good news about what he has given us in this free gift of salvation. Now as believers, we take the gospel of peace wherever we go. Because we know it's God's life-giving message to a world that is in bondage to sin. A world that is condemned by sin. Now remember, Satan, our enemy, he wants to hinder us from being used by God. Remember, that's his plan. He can't keep us from getting saved. He wants to definitely hinder those who are saved to be used by God. He's going to try to steal God's glory through us, remember? See, he knows that we play this crucial part in God's redemptive plan for the world. We are messengers. Witnesses, ambassadors for Christ, right? We are the ones who share this good news, who plant the seed of the gospel in the minds of people. God's the one who saved them. We're the one who plants the seed. That's our part. Therefore, we must be prepared to share at all times. That's why we take discipleship so important, because we want to raise up and we want to deploy, equip, and mature and fully devoted followers of Christ so that the good news about Jesus spreads to everybody in Buckingham and far, far beyond to the ends of the earth. That's our desire because that's God's desire. That's our vision because that's God's vision. This is our mission because this is God's mission. We want to raise up and send out those who know how to share the gospel. Can there be any greater news than this? I mean, think about the good news. Can there be any greater news than the free gift of eternity in heaven being given to us? That's why they call it the good news. That we've been rescued from hell and given life in heaven. In order to use this piece of armor, we must learn and study the good news. We must continually bring this to mind
Bring our salvation back to mind. The salvation God has given us, and reflect on that. And then we train our minds and our hearts to be prepared to share at all times. We get involved in discipleship and evangelism classes, whatever it is that's given out for that, so that we can learn, so that we can be better prepared. Because there's a lot of different people out there. There's a lot of different types of people that live in our community. And we have different ways of sharing the gospel with each of those people. Therefore, we need to practice and prepare and disciple and learn how to do that. This is so important. It's part of the mission. It's part of being a witness. Next, we look at the shield of faith. Why is this piece of armor important? Well, the Roman shield was made of wood. It was covered with this tough leather. It measured about 2.5 feet wide, about 4 feet. And in that age of war, they would light their arrows on fire and shoot them at their enemies. And so this leather on the shield would help absorb the fiery arrows that were shot at them. And this shield protected the other pieces of the armor. It pretty much protected the whole body. It almost hide behind this. And the shield was also made to interlock together with the other shields to make a wall. You see, they were trained. No one went out into battle and fought alone. Trained to work together, to work as one. The same goes for God's children. We are all in this spiritual battle together. And we fight side by side with the same goal of advancing God's kingdom around the world. He tells us to take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil. Not talking about the saving faith that you receive when you repented of your sin and you believe in Christ and who He was and what He did for you, who He is and what He did for you, how you turned away from that sin and you believe that He came and died and rose from the grave, and then you acknowledge your sin, you ask His forgiveness, you surrender your life to Him, and at that moment He forgave all your sin. He forgave every bit. It's not talking about that saving thing. This is talking about a living faith, a daily trust in the promises and power of God. This is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith in God and His Word means that we live our lives according to God's promises, according to His ways, and we base our lives on His Word. And then we trust that by living life the way He wants us to live, that He will provide and protect and fulfill all that He promises us. Satan has deceived many into having their own idea of faith, based on their own fleshly ideas, their own strength, and what they believe they can accomplish, how they think it should work out. But we need to understand something. People have faith in a lot of things. Everything, including yourself, will eventually let you down. It will eventually bring no satisfaction and no hope. But God will never, ever let you down. He is always faithful. He is trustworthy. We must put our faith in God. He is sovereign, and His Word is true. Remember how Satan loves to make people doubt what God has said? See, when our faith is based on God's promises that come from His Word, Satan's lies and deception, they can't touch us. Those subliminal messages that he's sending you from the world around you are brought to light by the Word of God. Those fiery darts of lies and deception are put to death by God's truth. They are revealed. They're made clear. We have to believe His Word, that it is to be true. It is true. We put our faith in what God has revealed to us. And we walk in obedience to God and His Word. It comes down to what you believe about the Bible. We believe that it's without error, that it is true for our lives. Or do you, like many, believe that it's just another book written by men? That's not what God's Word says. That's not what it's proven to be. And then when you believe that, anything goes. This is the foundation. We must believe in what God has given us here. We only truly act on what we believe to be true. We all know that. We're only going to act on something that we believe to be true. See, our obedience to God reflects the true reality of our faith in Him and His Word. If we're not walking in obedience because we don't really care, or we don't know, or it's not a big deal. So that reveals, it reflects the true nature, the true motive of our heart to obey. If you lack faith in God and His Word, then just ask God to strengthen your faith. Just ask God to strengthen your faith. How many of you are afraid to ask God that? How many of you have never asked God that because you are afraid of what that answer might look like in your life? I'm afraid to ask God to strengthen my faith. You see, on one hand, we fall prey to the lies and deception of Satan to bring about brokenness, loss of hope. And on the other hand, when we ask God to strengthen our faith, we might experience some adversity so that we can be strengthened in our faith and in His Word. One brings about chaos and doubt. The other brings about peace and joy, strength for what the future holds. Think about it. This is an important piece of spiritual armor. Hebrews 11:6 states, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." This is so important. Do you believe in who God is? Do you believe in His Word that it is true without error? Let's look at the helmet of salvation. Why is this piece of armor important? The Roman helmet was even made of metal and leather. It protected the most vital part of the body, the mind, which made or where timely decisions were made to protect your life. We know that Satan is also the deceiver, and he desires to attack the minds of people through plausible doctrines that are false, through worldly philosophies that distract us from the truth, through ways of life that the world calls good and right. He uses these subliminal messages to plant these lies in our mind in order to bring about doubt and confusion about God and His Word, just like he did with Adam and Eve. This is nothing new. We talk about you've been doing the same thing for a long time. The helmet of salvation refers to the mind controlled by God, a mind filled with the truths of God's Word. See, if we're going to use this piece of armor, it is important that we study, that we learn God's Word, that we understand important doctrines, that we know the truths of God's Word that our faith are based on. This is why discipleship and mentoring is so important. Whenever Paul went around to different places and was trying to help the church, he taught the truths of God's Word because he knew that would protect the church from the lies of Satan, from false teachers, from false doctrine. Among all the deception that Satan wants to bring about in your life, doubting your salvation is at the top of the list. It's at the top. You see, if your salvation is not secure in Christ, then you have no foundation. Your hope just becomes wishful thinking. It makes it easy for the enemy to bring about great fear in your heart and mind. Again, the passage we read earlier in Ephesians 1:13-14, "In Him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? The guarantee of our inheritance. When you believe in Jesus and who He is, and He died on the cross, as I said before, when you acknowledge your sin before God, you turn to Him and you ask His forgiveness and you surrender your life to Him, He forgave all of your sin at that moment. Every bit of it. And He erased it all. Your whole record of sin was erased. And at that very moment, God came to indwell you. God, the Holy Spirit, came to live in you, which is God's seal that on you that says you are His. You are His. And He says you are guaranteed. Not yet, it's guaranteed from God. Your salvation is guaranteed. You will be in heaven with Me. You will have your reward. Romans 8:37-39, all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God. If you put your faith in Christ, God says your salvation is protected by him. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. We use this piece of armor by reminding ourselves of God's truth, putting our faith in what he says about our salvation. And he says, in Christ you have been sealed by his Spirit. Your salvation is secure. You are a child of God. And knowing that your salvation is secure, protects you against Satan's lies and deception. I am God's child. He loves me. He cares for me. Think how important that is. Remember last week we talked about identity? It's about what Jesus says about us. Not about what you think, what the world says, or about what our past says. Next, we look at the sword of the Spirit. Why is this piece of armor so important? The Roman soldier carried this short two-edged sword. And it was for close-in fighting. The sword of the Spirit is one of the offensive weapons that God has given us. Verse 17 says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 compares the word of God to a sharp sword. He says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Meaning that the word of God is powerful beyond all that we can imagine. See, it reveals and speaks to the true motives of our hearts. You remember when we talked about Jesus fasting in the desert, and when he was there, Satan came to deceive him, to tempt him. What did he do? He used the word of God to combat Satan's lies and deception, like a sharp, two-edged sword. A physical sword requires the hand of a soldier, but the sword of the Spirit has its own power from its living and powerful, as we learn here. A physical sword brings death, but God's word brings life. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If this is our offensive weapon that we use to combat the attacks of Satan, the lies, the deception, how important is it that we abide with the Lord instead of this world? How important is it that we meditate and memorize His word so that in times of temptation, as Jesus faced, we can use the sword of